I want to call your attention in the beginning this evening to John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. This is the last sermon our Savior is preaching while he's on earth, and he's talking to his church about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus goes back to heaven, he will be sending the Holy Spirit to be with the church. And so Jesus says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Now that's interesting. The Holy Spirit will not be featuring himself. He won't be talking about himself. He shall not speak of himself. In verse 14, he shall glorify me. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church today is to glorify Jesus Christ, to give Jesus all the glory. By the way, I appreciate all of you that were with us today at Oak Grove. And I mentioned in the message this morning the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And a mother came up to me during dinner and said, Brother Sam, my son came up to me and he said, Mama, there's God the Father and God the Son. She said, that's right. But she said, there's also the Holy Ghost. And he said, where did that come from? He was not aware of the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, beloved, you and I tonight need to know something about the Trinity, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean we have three gods. They're three in one, and these three are one. Somebody asked Daniel Webster, who wrote the dictionary one time, how one plus one plus one could equal one. And Mr. Webster said, well, you'll have to wait to understand heaven's arithmetic to get that. There are a lot of things about God you and I can't comprehend, but we believe it because the Bible says it. Well, Jesus, in his last message, is talking to the brethren about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus had many things to teach them, but they could not bear them at that time. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And it was through the blessing, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that these apostles wrote the rest of the Bible. Acts and Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, all these other books were written by these men under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, and Jesus says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. Now, if the Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus, what do you think you and I ought to be trying to do? We ought to be trying to glorify him as well. We may honor men and women that deserve honor, but we give all glory to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, I want to tonight look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit for a while. in the Acts of the Apostles. I'm not sure where this title came from about the fifth book of the New Testament, the Acts of the Apostles. That's a good description of the book, because Jesus has gone back to heaven, but he has built his church and left his church under the care of the apostles. And the apostles, now being filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to act. Let's notice in Acts chapter 2. Let's see, down in Acts chapter 2 in verse 1. Now Jesus had instructed the brethren to remain in Jerusalem in an upper room until they be endued with power from on high. So they were up there for many days. And now the day of Pentecost has come. And let's read about it in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The Holy Spirit comes in a way that he had never appeared in the Old Testament. We know the Holy Spirit was working with God's children in the Old Testament. They were being born of the Spirit. They were being guided by the Spirit in certain ways. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to be very different in the New Testament. The Spirit comes as a mighty rushing wind. You remember Jesus said in John chapter 3, the wind blows where it pleases. So is the Spirit of God. Now, the wind is a beautiful picture in the Bible of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It just filled the house up. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what all of us need. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, empowered by the Holy Ghost. Now, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost was unique in my mind, and never to be enacted again in the church. You know, beloved, we believe Jesus built his church when he was on earth. He said himself in Matthew 16, upon this rock, I will build my church. But that church needed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I've heard this illustration. When a ship is built, let's say down in Savannah, in the shipyard in the old days when they were sailing vessels and they had sails on them, that ship would be built at the shipyard. And then the day would come for it to set sail, and it would be launched out, and the sails would be caught in the wind, and the wind would empower the sailing vessel. Well, I believe that's what's happening here. Jesus built his church, and now she is to set sail over the sea of time. And the Holy Spirit is catching the sails of the ship and empowering the ship. I don't know much about sailing vessels, but I know without wind, they don't have any power. They just sit there in the water. That's what the church is without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. Well, the church set sail on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God came as a mighty rushing wind and empowered the church. And then as you read the Acts of the Apostles, you'll be very impressed with how the Spirit of God began to work in the lives of these men of God. Let's turn over just a moment to Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. Listen to this. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? God is going to now send the gospel to Ethiopia. And how's he going to do it? Well, there's an Ethiopian eunuch from Ethiopia who has been to Jerusalem, obviously a convert to Judaism, but he doesn't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's still under the law. And on his way back to Ethiopia, he's a wealthy man, he's in a chariot, he's reading a copy of the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, all of you have Bibles, I'm sure, more than one in your home. You've got copies of Isaiah, and it probably didn't cost you a lot of money. But in those days, to get a written copy of Isaiah would have been precious. It would have been very expensive. It would have been a scroll. It would have been handwritten. What would you charge somebody to handwrite the prophecy of Isaiah? 66 chapters. It would take a while. And probably with a lot of us, nobody could read it. Our handwriting would be so poor. These people had to write, when they were making a copy of an Old Testament book, they had to have good handwriting, and it was very expensive. Well, this Ethiopian has bought him a copy of Isaiah, and he's reading it, but he doesn't understand what he's reading. How many of y'all have ever read anything in the Bible you didn't understand? Well, listen to this. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I love that. The Holy Spirit of God says to Philip, who is a preacher of the gospel, he says, I want you to go near and join thyself to this chariot. The Holy Spirit was guiding Philip to go out into the desert and join himself to this Ethiopian who is reading a copy of Isaiah that he doesn't understand. And Philip says, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And Philip got into the chariot with the Ethiopian and began to preach to him Jesus Christ. And you know who was authorizing all of this and orchestrating all of it? Wasn't Philip. It wasn't the eunuch, it was the Holy Spirit. That's what preachers need today. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit of God, not by GPS. I love GPS. What about y'all? It helps me find my way around as far as highways are concerned. But I need the Holy Spirit to guide me in my labors in the gospel. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And we know the rest of that story, how the eunuch was converted to the gospel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. His understanding was opened to know that Jesus Christ had kept the law of the Jews, and had died on the cross and washed his sins away. And now he wants to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philip baptizes him right out there in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit was there. Let's look at another example. Let's go over to Acts chapter 10 and verse 19. Listen to this. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. This story is familiar, I'm sure, with many of you, maybe all of you. The Apostle Peter was up on a housetop, resting at noon, and he saw a vision. And the vision was a sheet knitted at four corners, and it was let down from heaven, and the sheet was full of all kinds of animals, clean and unclean animals. And God said to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he, being an Orthodox Jew, said, nothing common or unclean has ever entered into my mouth. And God said to him, don't you call common or unclean that which I have cleansed. Now we know those animals in that sheet were representing God's elect family from four corners of the earth. Would y'all agree with that? And we're all sinners and we're unclean in ourselves. But God has cleansed us through the blood of Jesus. And now the Holy Spirit is telling this bull-headed apostle, the Holy Spirit, verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, not a missionary board, not a group of elders that got together to send him over there, but the Holy Spirit, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. And he got up and went with them. And so the Spirit of God led the Apostle Peter to the house of a Gentile by the name of Cornelius, who was a soldier, an officer in the Roman army. And right there in that house, God opened the door of the gospel to the Gentile world. And the Holy Spirit was leading and directing. Are y'all with me? The Holy Spirit, not a board of deacons, not a group of ministers, not a missionary board, not an evangelistic board, but the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when I was growing up here in Middle Georgia, I used to hear Elder Daugherty preach from this pulpit about God having a people in Africa. I forget what name he would give their buildings, their small little mud houses. But I believed what he was preaching. I believed God had a people in Africa, but I never dreamed I would go over there. And I can tell you right now, no group of men could have convinced me to go. But the Holy Spirit, I believe, convinced me I had a work to do there. And I was glad to do it under the influence of the Holy Spirit. When a man of God is called to pastor a church, he needs to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And a church needs to be guided by the Holy Spirit when they're calling a man to preach. Would y'all agree with that? We don't go into a call and think, well, this one or that one might suit our needs. No, we ask God to guide and direct. And I have seen many ministers in my 57 years go to places that I didn't think they would have ever gone to labor and live and toil, but they went under the influence of the Spirit and God blessed. Now, let's look at another example over here in Acts chapter 13. Let's look in verses 2-4. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, or the Holy Ghost, listen to this. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. What I believe the Bible is teaching us here is when the church ordains a man to be a minister of the gospel, they need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Would y'all agree with that? The Holy Spirit needs to impress a church to set a man aside to be examined and to lay hands on him and ordain him as a minister of the gospel. Brother Cecil used to say, some are God called and some are God sent, and others just bundled up and went. Well, now I want to tell you, those that bundled up and went are not a blessing to the cause of Christ. But if they're God called and God sent, and the Holy Spirit is anointing, oh my soul, what a blessing that is. We don't need mama called and daddy sent preachers. They won't ever be a blessing to the church. And God's going to call people sometimes you would never dream he'd call. You'll be shocked who he might call among us to preach the everlasting gospel. Who would have ever dreamed that God would have called the greatest enemy the church had to be its greatest preacher? I wouldn't have. My money wouldn't have been on Saul of Tarsus. He was a violent man, breathing out threatenings against the church. But God called him. The Holy Spirit arrested him and gave him a gift. And he became, I think, the greatest of all the apostles. God's ways are not our ways. He is an amazing God. One of our ministers, the first time they ever heard Elder Walter Evans, he went up in the pulpit. And Brother Walter didn't have but one tooth in his head. It was right here where you could see it. And this brother said, when I saw that man in the pulpit, I thought he'll never preach a lick. That old mountaineer, he couldn't preach, but he was anointed and fed the children of God and helped to build up churches in the mountains of North Carolina. Yes, sir, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But you and I don't have to guess. We can wait on the Holy Spirit. We can pray to God and He will send us the Spirit. I love what Jesus said about that. He said, there's one thing God will always give you if you ask for it, and that's the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you, when you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're asking for somebody to come into your life to take over. They're not just coming to make suggestions. The Holy Spirit doesn't come into our lives just to make suggestions. He comes in to take over the driver's seat. How many of y'all want somebody like that in your life? Well, that's the Holy Spirit, not the sinful spirit. The Holy Spirit calling on us to be holy. Now, the Holy Spirit led the church to ordain Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto God had called them. Now let's turn over to Acts 16 just a moment. And I found this today, and it was a very interesting verse to me. As I was studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16, let's look at verse 7. After they were come to Messia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Wow. These brethren wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit wouldn't let them go. Aren't y'all glad tonight the Holy Spirit is alive and well on the earth and here at Cool Springs Church, and we can really be blessed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He tells us what to do, what not to do. He guides us. He directs us. We need the Holy Spirit of God. And I can tell you, beloved, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because let's turn over just a moment to Galatians. And let's look at an interesting verse that Paul gives to the Galatians. He would say to them in Galatians chapter 5, a very interesting verse. Verse 15, he would say, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Now listen, Paul is writing this to churches. He's not writing this to some social club. He's not writing this to an athletic club. He's not writing this to a bunch of soldiers. He's writing this to the churches of Galatia. And did you know that churches can get in the flesh and bite and devour one another? I just want to be quiet a minute and let that soak in. You say, surely, Brother Sam, churches couldn't get in that frame of mind. We're all little angels dipped in sugar. Well, we could be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We could be sweet and kind and respectful. But if we get in the flesh, we can bite. How would y'all like somebody to bite you? I wouldn't like it. I'm going to tell on my brother Dan tonight when he was a little boy. Now, if I want him to know I told this, I'll tell him. He would get under the table when we'd have company and bite people. Whoa. And let me tell you, my mama took care of him. She made him bite a piece of lighter knot. You know, we all got our weaknesses. I don't remember ever being tempted to bite anybody. But I want to tell you, did you know in the family of God, we can get in the flesh and bite and devour one another? Not physically. I don't think Paul is saying here they're going to get into a physical brawl, but they can bite and devour one another. That happens. That can happen to churches. So Paul is saying, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We all have a fleshly nature we have to deal with all the time. I wish, that's going to be one of the best things about heaven. My fleshly nature won't be there. How about y'all? Are y'all looking forward to that? But I have to deal with it all the time. It's there every morning when I wake up. But I don't have to give in to it. And when fleshly thoughts come into my mind, sometimes I'll say to God, I'll say, Father, that's not mine. I don't claim it. I don't know where that came from. Y'all ever have thoughts pop into your mind and you know they're not of the Lord, they're not spiritual, they're not godly, but you can feed them and dwell on them and they can take over. But you've got a fleshly nature. You've got to fight every day of your life. It's a constant battle. Well, Paul is saying, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now these people who say that everything in the world is working together, like in Romans 8:28, everything is working together for good. If that's so, what did Paul mean when he said the flesh and the spirit are contrary the one to the other? If two things are contrary to each other, they're certainly not working together. I just lost the fatalists and the absoluters. They just dismissed what I said. But y'all have enough common sense to know that if things are contrary to one another, they're not working together. There are people who believe that God is orchestrating everything on this earth so that everything that happens, good, bad, and ugly, is working together for good. That is nonsense. That is contrary to the Word of God. So let's not try to blame our sins. There was a fellow over in Alabama one time that belonged to one of those absoluter churches. When I say absolute church, what I mean is they believe in the absolute predestination of all things. That if you swat a fly, God predestinated that before the foundation of the world. I heard a preacher say one time that if you saw a roach crossing the floor of a restaurant, God predestinated that before the foundation of the world. How many of y'all would believe that? If so, we got a lot of work to do tonight. That is nonsense. I believe in predestination. I believe God predestinated that His people be with Him in heaven, and He fixed it where it's going to happen. Y'all believe that? Only God can predestinate. But anyway, this guy was a member of one of these churches. Everything that happens, he kept getting drunk, and they kept bringing him up in conference. And he would say, well, brethren, I couldn't help it. God predestinated I drink. I can't help it. How are you going to argue against that? After all, you preaching that everything that happens, God predestinated. Finally, they excluded him. He said, y'all can't exclude me for drinking. God predestinated it. And one of the deacons said, well, God predestinated, we exclude you. Are y'all with me? That kind of logic is dangerous. Elder Darty used to say, anybody who preaches that has either done something they shouldn't do, or they're wanting to do something they shouldn't do, and they want to blame God with it. Let's take responsibility for our own behavior. So Paul is saying, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What you and I need, beloved, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and not give in to the flesh. You know when you're in the flesh. I know when I'm in the flesh, and I don't like it. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled. And let me say it. I said it today. When people are full of the Holy Spirit, things run smoothly, just like a well-oiled engine. See, the Holy Spirit in the Bible is compared to oil that anoints. And when something is well-oiled, it just runs smooth. And when a church is full of the Holy Spirit, it just operates smoothly. When you're home, you and your wife are full of the Holy Spirit, you don't have arguments and fussing and quarreling all the time. Children need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We all need it. And I can tell you, it's available. May God help us to be full of the Spirit, that we may bear the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I'll close with this. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. What is the sweetest evidence you and I can have that we're among the elect of God that'll be in heaven someday? He says, for our gospel came to you not in word only, but in power and in much assurance and in the Holy Ghost. If you've ever heard the gospel of a crucified and risen Savior and it touched you deep in your heart, that's an evidence you're one of God's elect. He has given you a receiving set. Now, as one brother said, power is not volume. Just because a man screams to the top of his voice doesn't mean he's got the power of the Holy Spirit. But you can tell it. Would you pray for me that God would bless me and use me and guide me by the Holy Spirit and bless this church to be filled with the Spirit?